rambunctious boy. People like jumping around, that's for sure. So.
Yeah, I haven't been to too many small venues, or at least, you know, that size, like the old Peabody's Down Under or Grog Shop, where it's like, you know, a concert of a couple of hundred.
Oh, this was about a concert of maybe 75 people. Oh. It was, it's small, but the energy level is insane. I mean, the band is basically only a foot above you. Like, the stage is a foot tall. So, yeah. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I was like, oh my god, this is like the old shit. And it does kind of remind me of a Peabody's, minus the flesh shredder.
Yeah.
In the middle of the pit.
Yeah, that was a little rough.
Yeah. I still can't believe never hit that thing. I guess you just know not to. So...
Yeah, people were pretty cognizant of that being there, I feel like, just because nobody wanted to run into it.
Yeah.
Everyone had some level of sanity. They were not going to pull a Darby Allin and just wear a sweatshirt full of tacks to the ring.
You might as well just hit record.
I already did, sir.
Good. Dude, I texted you this morning. I actually dozed off last night before that started, which I couldn't believe. I woke up in the news, like the whatever the dumb show on after that's on. And is that Power Slap?
Oh, Power Slap, yeah.
That obnoxious garbage. It's just the epitome of lazy fighting. But anyways.
Yeah, like, I'm like, hold on, the whole thing is you're a defenseless target? Like,
yeah.
What?
And it's not slapping. So we need to cut that bullshit out. You're not stiff-arming when you're slapping somebody. I mean, you're usually going up, going sideways, but your arm's a little loose. You're basically just clubbing these people in the head, and they have to take it. Like, isn't the whole point of fighting not to get hit? Not to get submitted? And this is... Well, I just have to outlast the other guy. Or, no, I guess knock him out. I don't know. I don't care what the rules are. It's fucking stupid. They don't have kick fighting, do they? Where you just sit there and kick each other in the shins?
That would be really weird to watch.
No worse than this? No, I guess aesthetically, yes, it would be kind of weird. But, like, have you seen that famous clip of the dude whose side of his face, like... was like triple the size of his other side?
Oh, no, I did not see that one.
He looks like a before and after picture. And he won the fight. The other guy gave up.
No.
That's how dumb this stuff is. There is nothing redeeming about it. I don't care. So...
there is zero incentive for me to watch that. Like, I'm like,
no.
Why the fuck does anyone watch this?
It's only a step up above bum fights. Remember those? Except these guys, I guess, get paid more. I don't know. But...
The bums might have been... Well, I don't know.
Yeah, I was like, no, there's really... I mean, no. That's why I said a step above. I mean, maybe if it was a deathmatch bum fight. For those who don't know, bum fights is exactly what it sounds like. They paid homeless people to fight. The 90s were wild. Or was that the 2000s?
It might have been the early 2000s. Because, you know... Girls Gone
Wild, it was around the same time.
Huh?
Wasn't it around Girls Gone Wild as well?
I feel like that was more of an online thing, and you had to at least be a little bit more into the 2000s to really have something viral video EE. Because, man, it was some real mud there still, pretty deep into the 90s as far as download speeds go. Because I remember things still being... somewhat slow at Governor Square, which would have been like 99, 2000 in that area.
Okay. Yeah. So, I can't say I'm really that familiar with bum fights. I know what they are, and of course I've seen a few. But I mean,
I've definitely seen a clip or two, but yeah, that was another one where I'm like, I guess I'm not really interested, guys. Like, that's...
No. Even for me, I'm like, this is wrong. I mean, this is... Because didn't those guys get in trouble or go to jail? Did one of the homeless guys die?
I think so.
Yeah, and it's like, yeah,
for yeah, the
$20 they were paying him or whatever it was.
Yeah, you propagated a murder, sir.
Yeah, I mean, that's rough, dude. I mean, that's not helping him. I knew that. I know that was like the argument. Hey, we give him $20. They got him. I was like, really, $20 is not life changing money. So let's just knock that bullshit out of the way.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's barely enough for the bottle of liquor that the guy wants, so...
Yeah. Well, back then, liquor wouldn't be that expensive, I guess. Not like now.
You might have been able to get by with $10.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe it was life-changing money then, who knows? But... depending on what you want your life to be. But no, dude, I was so excited watching that match.
No.
This is not a bum fight, that's for sure.
No. Darby Allin versus Samoa Joe. Like, it was pretty wild how much good wrestling was on TV this week.
Yeah, I was gonna say that. What a week!
and for that to stand out at the end of a long week of wrestling is something else. You know, I'm not. I don't know. Yeah, 'cause I mean. None of the matches at the Royal Rumble were meant to be that kind of thing.
I think the men's Rumble was really good, actually.
Yeah.
The women started off and then got good.
Well, but that's what I mean. Like, to me, it's hard to compare like a regular-ish match that like Darby and Samoa Joe had to either of the Rumble matches themselves. But the singles matches, like, even the main event one, it wasn't I don't feel like it was still the longest match that Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns could have. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it was more based around the angle that was happening after it, and probably, especially with the time that they went to, I feel like got pulled back in a little bit. So, and they didn't really, they gave Darby and Samoa Joe, like, and I guess it kind of helps. Like, I'm not even looking at a review to pull up the time, but it seemed like a perfect amount of time, like, for that style of match.
Man. I'll tell you what, when he came down, he has, like, the tack jacket or hoodie. I'm like, oh, that's kind of goofy. He uses it real quick. Joe just immediately rips it off of him. I'm like, smart.
Yes. Extremely smart.
Everything in this match was smart. Because I absolutely hated Hangman Page and Moxley. The way it ended.
Oh.
Because it's... Big move. Oh, small package, or roll up, you're done. What the fuck are we doing?
He's
perfectly fine, and that's what does it? Where the guy who just got a buckshot and then a pile driver? Or maybe I'd reverse.
Reverse order.
Yeah, like, get the fuck out of here.
I didn't consider that part, but they did it. Well, at least the announcers really tried to sell Moxley reversing his own chokehold kind of situation. So they were kind of setting it up, actually, because they warned about Paige using his move, and then they really turned it into it. So they at least... we're covering for it, I will say.
Yeah, I can't say I hate it. I actually enjoyed the match till the end. Because I'm really tired of that stuff. And so I can't remember what wrestler pointed it out this week too. Or maybe it was last week, and they were like, Jake Roberts. He's like, you have all these big moves, and a simple roll-up pins somebody. He's like, it doesn't make any sense. And he's right. I've been saying it for a while. And this match was devoid of that stuff. And the one time I thought something stupid was going to happen, it didn't. Like, they got to the end, and Darby is cutting those ropes like a maniac. Which, by the way, next time, can we just kind of gimmick the ropes?
Or give him a bigger knife?
Let's, yes.
That really probably would have helped the situation the most. Like, you didn't need to give him, like, a giant saw, but holy smokes, like, I want to say that, like, West Side Story had bigger knives than Darby Allin had there.
Yeah, and that thing, like, he pulls a knife out. I'm like, what the hell's going on here? And he starts pulling it up. I'm like, oh, they're going to take the mats off. All right, that's pretty cool. And it was taking him forever, and I immediately just went, Joe better not just sit there and wait for him.
No.
So Joe rolls out.
Yeah.
And Darby goes right at him, and Joe just moves out of the way, which is a Joe thing to do, of course. But in that context, it was incredibly smart. He just set him up.
Oh my gosh, that spot was wild.
Which ones weren't?
This is also true.
We'd say this every time. He's not lasting long. And whether it's by choice or whatever, I mean, goddamn, man. he took, and Joe did too, but the muscle buster.
Oh.
Onto the exposed wood, like, you know, you put the pads down for a reason, you know? So.
Yeah. It's real wood is a lot harder than, even though it is, not exactly springy fun as, I feel like, was that Billy Gunn that described it that way a long, long time ago?
Probably.
So, yeah, there's a little bit of padding there, but that little bit of padding really helps out.
Really. That looked like some thick padding, but it's just basically, you know, they pull the ring apron so tightly over it that, you know, it's a little harder, so it won't move, but...
Oh, yeah, it does, yeah. The mats do give it a tightness that maybe isn't naturally there.
Yeah, but no, man, every time I see Darby Allin, I like him more and more. I've always loved Joe.
Oh. So
it's like you've got a guy who doesn't care about his own well-being going against a seasoned professional who is an intimidating dude who knows how to sell for him. And, like I thought Joe bladed because, I mean, of course they're bleeding because it's AEW. You have to. But
no.
That looks like a hard way.
Yeah, that was definitely a real cut. Like, there was not enough blood for that to be... If it was a blade job, it was the worst blade job ever.
Yeah, but like on the replay, you saw he just did his cannonball into the table and it just smacked Joe in the face. I was like, oh no.
Well, and that was the other thing that I wondered, because I don't remember noticing it, when exactly I noticed it. But I'm like, oh, I wonder if that's from, like you said, that cannonball spot into the table, and the table just whacked Joe in the face.
Straight in the face, yes. And it was just positioned just enough where it was actually a piece of metal is what hit him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, maybe they did that on purpose. If so, that makes me love this match even more. Because I had no idea who was going to win this. I'm like, it doesn't really make sense for Joe to win it back already, right? Like, And they keep going, they're trading spots. The referee didn't give it away too often.
Oh.
Even the end. I love this. Steve Austin years ago talked about how he hates when the wrestler's eyes are open and they're looking at the referee. Because it takes the drama out of it. Because most of the time they're looking and they're going to get the shoulder up. It gives away the end. So ever since he said that, I've always keyed in on this. It's like, all right. Then you have the announcer saying, well, this is over. It's not. At the end of the match, Joe covers Darby. Darby's head is looking over at the referee, and it was three. I'm like, did he do it on purpose? It was so great. It's just these little details made this match great. I mean, the two of them, again, it's the two of them. Of course it's going to be good. The other two were really good.
Yeah, that was one thing that watching this match, I'm like, yeah, these two just have a wild chemistry, and I suppose I'm happy that they are at least going to take a break from wrestling each other.
Yeah, they did say that's the last one.
Yeah, they said it was the last one, so I'm cool with that, you know. But all three matches have been great, and that one was really it was the, I don't know if it was the best of the series, but hot damn, it was awesome. You know, I guess I don't remember the other two well enough to remember if I liked them more and or less than this, but yeah, this one just really solidified, like, these two have something together that is really, really something else.
Yeah, and I mean, it's kind of stupid to say it like this, but I enjoy the fact that they said this is it. I'm also at the point where I would like to see it again. Just keep, because you can't have the match be long. It won't make sense. I mean, Joe and him shouldn't go long. You know, just by the size difference.
Yeah.
I'm not calling it like Austin Aries beating Joe, right? But it's got kind of the same vibes. Like, Darby out of nowhere beats Joe. Like, what, 3 weeks ago? 4 weeks ago? Whatever it was?
Five. Because that was the other thing that... the announcers have at least sold for the lesser championship, because the TV title gets the TNT, yeah, TNT title gets defended more frequently, and they have talked about the champions getting worn down from fighting too much, and honestly, consequently, they have kind of followed through on having these champions lose more frequently than they would, you know, in the WWE, let's say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, really, the TNT title and the TBS for the women is basically their television title. That's why Joe calls himself the king of TV.
Right.
You know? But, I mean, I just don't know why you can't just call him television title. Because AEW does not, and actually WWE really doesn't that much anymore. They don't have their main title defended on television. Every once in a blue moon.
Oh.
You know? So for AEW, I mean, you've got the Mid-Atlantic, the Intercontinental, United States, the TNT, like, however many belts they have now.
Too many still.
Not featuring Ring of Honor, it's kind of gone down.
It has gone down a little bit. But it still is a little bit high.
For the amount of television time they have, I agree with you still.
Yeah. So,
but yeah, and then, like, I don't know. There's just so much good in it, and I just loved it. I love it. I actually really enjoyed this episode of AEW. This is one of my favorite ones.
It was really wrestling heavy.
And the angles were good, too. So even like the Jericho Appreciation Society segment, where they're backstage, quick, explained, got out. And I say quick for them. It's a 30-minute segment. And it's like, was it Cool Hand and Daddy Magic?
Yes.
Yeah, like, you know they're going to lose. But it's still, I just love how obnoxious they are. I mean, what a dork to have a comb. You just comb your hair back because you're a cool hand. Like, it's so bad. But it's them, so it works. And even Garcia actually sounded like competent on the mic for a change. Because that's been his detriment.
Yeah, oh.
So, well, Brian Danielson and Timothy Thatcher, good. What a shock. I'm still like, they're making a big deal out of Takeshita beating Brian Cage, which I think, okay. Like, Brian Cage hasn't been on TV in forever. He comes back to TV and doesn't win. Unless he's on Rampage, I guess.
Yeah, because what do they keep on? Is he Trios champion?
He's the Ring of Honor six-man tag team champion. Trio, that's what they said, is Trios is AEW, six-man is Ring of Honor.
Yep. Yeah, so... Yeah, he got his wish. He's getting more TV time. It's not doing him a whole lot of good, though.
Well, I keep seeing about how his contract's coming up soon. So I'm like, okay, are they going to get the six-man tag title off of him then? So...
I don't know. I mean, can you sign him to just a ROH contract?
I gotta guess that's gotta start happening, right? Because Ring of Honor has not been featured as much on AEW, and they're gonna start their own show soon, I believe. So I would expect they would have Ring of Honor contracts.
Yeah, I mean, that might, yeah, that the whole Brian Cage thing has just not gone the way he expected.
No, not at all. I don't know if it's his fault or not, but saddled him, like not saddled him, but he was second fiddle to Taz as the FTW champion, didn't really do anything. Loses it, disappears, comes back in Ring of Honor, shows up for a handful of matches. Like, because at the time when he left Impact, he was a pretty hot property.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he's irrevocably stained at this point. I mean, far be it from me to, there is no real body shaming, but I still think that just the whole setup doesn't seem very WWE to me. Even for, like, I know that they like size a lot. I don't feel like he's as smooth as he thinks he is.
His problem is his... mic abilities. He's got a unique look. I don't dig the whole mohawk thing. Mohawks just seem kind of passe. Like,
no.
All right. It reeks of when you don't know what to do with your appearance. So, like, for him, he had, like, a regular look to him. He just looked like a monster, and it was fine. And now he's doing this, and it's like, well, I think you're standing out in the wrong way. And it could just be me, but, so, like, yeah. You know, he grew out, like, the Wolverine sideburns, all that stuff. Like, all right, he's got a little Wolverine thing going, because he was really good in Lucha Underground as well. So, he was on a good run, and just stalled bad in AEW. Doesn't matter if you like the guy, just facts are facts.
Yeah, like you said, like I don't know whose fault it is really, because beyond you know, my whole opinion on what he decides to do with his body mass. He just, yeah, like you said, he hasn't been pushed really. You know, I remember his wife kind of complaining about it on Twitter a long time ago.
Yeah, yes.
And he was really kept off of TV for like a year after that. So, doesn't seem like that worked terribly well.
But also, it's like, okay, if that's the case, what kind of petty nonsense is AEW running? So wait, let's get this right. Not some fan, not this, like his wife. And then I think he agreed with her or said something else. He defended her. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
That's how it works. And then privately, you go, what the fuck are you doing? Stop it. You're ruining everything. So, yeah. So there's that.
Yeah, he really does not seemingly have, he does not seem like he has recovered from that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, even like in the case of like the wife messing stuff up, I mean, if we're going with that theme, it's not confirmed, obviously, but even like CJ Perry / Lana messing stuff up for Rusev, Miro.
She's
another one. She started smarting off. Rebby Hardy. She mouths off all the time. She's a peach.
Like, honestly, I'm shocked that I haven't seen anything in the old Yield timeline from Rebby in quite some time. Granny timeline.
Yeah, but again, I have no way to confirm, but it's like she smarts off. And sometimes her points are valid, by the way. It's just the person, because she has a bad rap.
Oh.
Well.
Yeah, it's a little bit of the messenger issue.
Yeah. And then Matt's like, hey, I got a cushy gig. I don't do anything, and I'm getting paid. When's the last time you remember me doing anything? Shut up. You just had another kid. Stop. And then she's like, he's not paying attention. You know what? Whoa, 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 whoa. He's like, oh my god, here we go again. But it's like if a wrestler's wife or spouse, or wife, husband, a significant other, life partner, whatever, smarts off on Twitter, and that affects your business decisions, you're a goddamn idiot.
Yeah.
So, I said, like, can you believe this baseball player's girlfriend? Yeah. Okay, you start tomorrow. Get your ass out there. Go warm up. Like, I don't give a shit. I'm an adult.
Yeah, you're either doing your job or you're not. And there's exactly. Not a whole lot that I'm going to do about this. Yeah.
And to go back, AEW did their job this week. The show was good. I still don't get the hype with Takeshita. I just don't.
So
I need someone to explain why I should be excited by this guy.
I like him, but I don't like him to the level that AEW likes him.
Yeah.
I'll put it that way. Like, I'm kind of like, oh, I guess I could see this guy being good in the future, but that's what it is. For me, you know, a future thing. Still, and they're acting like it's a now thing.
Especially with, like, getting them to MJF. But that's just to make sure MJF beats somebody at the people, make sure they boo MJF. I just don't get it. That's all. That's the plain simple of it. And
maybe it'll
grow on me. There are other people I didn't get at first. I didn't get the Street Profits at first. I mean, these guys are just obnoxious. Like, what are they doing? And then they grew on me. And now they're barely ever on TV. So, you know, whatever. But can't win.
No.
I like these guys. 3 months later. Hey, remember that tag team I liked?
Yeah, they're getting the Isaiah Cassidy treatment.
I'm guessing. Wait, what's his
Marquez?
Yeah, is he hurt?
Or Marquen?
God damn it, I forgot.
Yeah,
that's how insignificant they became.
Yeah, Private Party really went down the old.
Yeah, but is he hurt? Is that why there's just the two of them?
I would imagine that he is injured.
They really need to start saying something. Because it's getting bad. Because we used to criticize, or do criticize, WWE on people just disappearing. Like, where the hell is AJ Styles and the Good Brothers?
Yeah, AJ Styles got hurt, so the Good Brothers got to take a back seat.
Yeah, like what? Okay, I mean, they mentioned him during the Royal Rumble, but not AJ. And it's like, a guy gets hurt, let us know. Not because a lot of people, because the way things work, you're gonna forget anyways. But at least it'll be like, hey, they will be back. They're just hurt. That's all.
Well, right.
So I mean, not give them the Cody treatment where every week they're like, hey, another update.
What's your rehab update?
Yeah. Which, by the way, how have they never done? Remember when Randy Orton was hurt when he was a rookie? And they were doing the Orton News update or something?
Was it the Orton News Network?
I think so, or Randy News Network. Yeah, it was RNN, so yeah, it was Randy News Network, that was it.
Okay.
He was such a douche. But the funny thing is that it wasn't supposed to be that way. It was just everyone hated it. Why? How have they not had something like that with a bad guy that gets hurt? Just anything.
That would be pretty funny.
So many decent ideas out there just waiting to be used again. But AEW just overall was good. NXT wasn't too bad. And it set the stage for Saturday, which I'm looking forward to the show. So
yeah, you're getting to see a solid solid show there.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it now because when Chase U won, I popped. I was like, "Fuck yes!" So my favorite people are gonna be in this. Pretty Deadly, Chase U. And then
Gallus.
And then Gallus. Gallus, whatever. Just sure. I get to hear the music. The music's pretty bangers. So that's cool. And you get to see the main roster act in New Day. So that's pretty nice. But like Chase U, I'm torn. I don't know if I want Pretty Deadly or them to win.
Oh.
So.
Yeah, I would think that New Day is on their way back out here.
I was thinking the same thing, but okay, so they go back to SmackDown. Then what?
Oh, yeah, they don't have anything better to do.
Right. So
until the Usos are not champions, they don't have anything better to do.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Once that title change happens, yep, sure, bring them back up to the main roster. Until then, I could see them remaining. Because they could still have singles matches with all of these teams, should they want to.
Yeah,
and I would be cool with it. Honestly,
wouldn't that benefit some of these people?
I definitely think that. I don't know if you need to worry about Gallus so much. They seem to be pretty into wrestling here, but some of the younger teams, the Brooks, well, they already had a match with Brooks and Jensen, didn't they?
Yes, and they tried because they wanted another one, and it seemed like they were going to be the ones in this match, and they weren't. So I like the fact they got some different people. I mean, outside of Pretty Deadly.
Oh. But yeah, Chase U is a good one, I guess, to put in that position because Pretty Deadly is just, yeah, we haven't gotten enough Pretty Deadly.
No, it seemed like they were committing to them, and then they lost the titles, and that's been it. Like, we haven't gotten much backstage stuff, that amazing vignette they had. Like, they just immediately got away from that, and it's like...
Yeah, they had the goofy stuff with New Day there, where they're trying to find lists and things like that, and it's just like... It's kind of quote-unquote funny that they ended up having to fight all this red tape and they're not getting a singles match, but it almost seems like the subject has been dropped in some ways, too, where this has turned into the New Day Invitational instead of being, like, them basically just torturing Pretty Deadly.
Yeah, I mean, it would be kind of funny, because that is a way Pretty Deadly loses from the complaint. So, you know.
Oh, for sure.
We never got our one-on-one, which is fair, but, you know, it's WWE, and Hunter's trying to make things make sense, so that's nice. But, yeah, I really don't know who's going to win. Like, it just seems like Grayson Waller should win.
Oh.
There's no room for him on the main roster yet. But then there's no room for Braun Breaker either. Because if Braun loses, what else is left? Or wins? Oh. Okay. Is Carmelo?
Yeah, Carmelo is the only one left to challenge Braun and to take that championship, honestly. Because Waller has got to be at most the second top heel, you know, after Carmelo.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if Waller doesn't do it, Melo is the only one, really.
Yeah. Because there's no real hot heel act anyways. I mean, I guess Dijak's a heel? I don't know. I really don't know.
Oh, Dijak Cobretti just keeps on striking each and every week.
Yeah, oh, yeah, well, at least they're trying to do something with him, but it's still like, this is weird.
Yeah, weird. Like, I feel like I'm buying this one even less than, you know, the Tony D'Angelo stuff has kind of turned almost comical at this point.
It's so stupid. It's gone from, like, really dumb to stupid. Like, because before it was lazy. And now, like, Stax is the underboss?
Yeah.
What the fuck does that even mean? Like,
he's not a foot soldier anymore in the family. Like, he gets to get his beak wet in a couple extra lines of income, sir.
It's like... Tony D'Angelo, you can take seriously. I don't take Stax seriously. That's the problem. So he calls himself the underboss. I'm like, you can call yourself the godfather. I'm not going to believe it. And then an underboss in wrestling, what does it even mean? Like, the Don of NXT is, you know, you can make a case of that it's a legitimate title. It's not, but you can at least have fun arguing it. Calling somebody the underboss, what are you even talking about? So, I guess maybe I'm being too analytical with it, but come on. So, and it's made me like Tony D more because Stax sucks so much.
Yeah, I they're advancing some weird storyline that doesn't really have much. I guess Stax could eventually get whacked himself. I mean, I did love I know it wasn't this week, but the whole two dimes into the river a second time was.
Yeah, still great.
So great.
That was kind of the turnaround for me. It was when they killed him off. Like, wait, what? Okay. They've just gone all in. So, but, oh, I was listening to Observer Radio, and I guess one of the reasons, as this goes back to the Pretty Deadly thing, because they've kind of done it with Tony D as well, there's not a lot of vignettes now in NXT. And I guess Jeremy Borash has been cut in time between the main roster and NXT.
Oh, okay.
Which makes sense why they would disappear.
Yeah, because... and I am not arguing with this because I love her. Megan Morant gets a lot of TV time. You know, there are a lot of backstage segments with her. And then you even have that, whatever that weird moment was with, what's Robert Stone and why am I slipping on the other guy's name?
Von Wagner.
You know, like, it's more kind of traditional backstagey stuff rather than the cinematic stuff like you're talking about. And, yeah, I mean, Borash, I think, certainly brings that element to his writing, you know? Even, obviously, it was that whole Hardy Compound thing 1.0, was involved in that pretty much from Jump Street, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's what they said. He's like the guy that gets no credit. But he was part of it the entire time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, and you can see his fingerprints on stuff. He's got that, like, storytelling in vignettes thing down.
Yes.
And he's very good at it. I didn't like him as anything else in TNA. But this...
Yeah.
The man's got a niche.
Yeah, please.
Works very well.
Please stay behind the scenes.
Yes. Yeah, I don't need to see you.
So. Better spot for you.
Trying to pick out another beer here.
Love your work.
I'll skip that one. All right,
man. So what the... I'm trying to think of what else was happening there on NXT.
Well, you've got the women's match where Roxy finally has enough of Toxic Attraction ignoring her. And then you still got the little hint at the end with Gigi and JC. When Gigi goes, I'll be. Oh, no. We will be. And JC looks at her like. And it's like, well, yeah, what do you think's going to happen? You can't be co-champion. I mean, I know that WWE is a precedent for that, but no.
So, yeah, I'm glad that they're... It was one thing to have them win the Battle Royal together. Like, I'm okay with putting up with that element of this gimmick just so that we can get to this three-way situation. But, yeah, those shenanigans need to stop in this match. You know? And I do think that one of the two of them is going to cost one of the two of them, and Roxanne's going to, you know...
Yeah, oh, you know, I mean, Roxanne wins this. There's no way they take it off her already. If she would have had, like, a much longer showing in the Rumble, then sure. But supposedly, they didn't have her to have a longer showing in the Rumble so that she didn't get hurt, which is kind of funny. Like, this whole business is built on not getting hurt. You know, from not punching somebody to not kicking somebody to just not getting hurt in general.
Well, yeah, I do not know if she already has an injury history, but she's 22. She should be able to bounce back from it. Just rub some dirt on it. You're young. Get the fuck back out there.
Well, I mean, depending on what it is, of course. So. Sorry, I'm trying to read which one this is.
Okay. Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, rocks.
Sorry, just by surprise.
That should be a fun, even if it's a little bit of a predictable match there. I suppose I wasn't completely surprised that Ivy Nile ends up factoring into the Indushir Creed Brothers saga here. But they're not going to be... Neither of them are going to be at Vengeance Day, are they?
No, I was kind of disappointed by that. I know I was listing people I wanted to see. I did want to see the Creeds, and I did want to see, not Veer, Sangha. Because Sangha looks like a gigantic human being.
I forget Veer's what, because, yeah, Veer is like, just because he did pitch for the Pirates, he's like 6'7 or 6'8, something like that. The man is not small at all. And Sangha makes him look tiny. Yes. I'm like, holy shit.
I mean, short and wide. You know? Or, well, I guess tall and wide, not, but.
Yeah, it's just like, oh my god. Like, I guess I knew that he was a big guy before, but Veer kind of being dwarfed by him really put things in perspective.
Yeah, that was crazy.
I don't know how he didn't dwarf. Who was that woman that was mad that he kind of turned her back, his back on
her? I have no idea what their names are. I know the one's hurt, and the other one is Brazilian. Or they're both Brazilian. I have no idea what their names are.
Yeah.
Because this is... NXT has a lot of women that look the same.
They have a lot of women.
Well, that's true, too. There's a lot of women, and a lot of them look the same. So in some cases, they can be interchangeable.
Yeah, that was one where I'm like, I saw the whole, I was going to call her Stevie Nicks, and it's not Stevie Nicks. Good God. It's definitely Stevie. What the fuck is her name?
I was going to say Wonder. That's not it. Stevie Winwood. I'm trying to think of all the musical artists we can come up with.
And it's taken forever to get to that part of the show here, too, of course.
Stevie
Turner.
That's it. Well, all right, Tina Turner, Stevie Turner. Close enough for me. So, yeah, cool. A streamer that wrestles, like, I just don't care. I was like, I don't know. We don't know anything about Sel Roca or Rocca other than she has a cool finishing move.
And she's a little bit of a surfer gal.
Yeah, cool. That we only know that because of the music. But that's only if you know what surf music is.
What are you saying?
She was on the beach, wasn't she? She was on the beach when they first introduced
her. Yeah, they did have some beach vignettes for her. They were shorter ones, but it was all beach themed stuff.
Yeah. And then I know there's Tatum Paxley. That's the one that hooks up with Ivy Nile.
Yeah.
Partners up, excuse me, whatever.
Because Kiana James and Fallon Henley are the reluctant tag team. I'm going to assume that what's her name was talking to some business associate.
No, because she said, "I love you." It's her brother. It's either her brother or a cousin. Which, yeah. I actually would like it if it was her gay best friend. Throw a total monkey wrench. Be like, wait, what? Yeah. My gay friend Zach, or whatever his name was. Why not? I've never seen that before.
Yeah, so, I mean, they are really painting Fallon Henley as a dumbass overreactionary. And I fully expect for her to have to eat her words again this time around.
I really hope they do beat Casey and Caden. I just don't like them. Katana Chance.
Have had a really long championship reign, and it's really felt like they have done next to nothing during it. It's been the strangest thing. They're like, oh, we're being disrespected, like we're not good champions, and then you don't see them for like a month and a half, and it's just like, hey, why does this next tag team think that we're never around here too? It's like, well, you're never around. Yeah. That's why people think that. I've said it before. I think that them being a tag team is their ceiling.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know, if you want to make a living that way, have at it. Like, far be it from me to argue with that, but they could do the same thing on the main roster at some point. You know, be a good underdog story for someone to win, but it would be kind of tough. There are just so many big names that are still floating out there for the women's division main roster. Yeah. That,
well, Road Dogg, I don't know if it was his podcast or interview or something, he said that they've got enough women talent to have their own show. And he goes, it could even be 2 hours. And I went, no shit.
Oh.
Wait, did someone just figure this out? Maybe Piper Niven will be on SmackDown. And I understand, like, their plans for WrestleMania, they got to start getting stuff going for Elimination Chamber and WrestleMania at the same time. But you had people come back. So Chelsea Green came back. Nia Jax came back. Piper Niven.
There seems to be some, at least from what I saw, that there is some dispute as to how long-term Nia Jax is around.
Good. I was so happy you were awake, because I almost woke the house up. I just went, what the fuck?
Is she... Yep. Don't really need to see her again.
Because we have a... All right, and this sounds how it sounds. We have a better version of a big woman in Piper Niven. Plain and simple. We don't need this one. Like, Tamina came back. Did you remember Tamina was in WWE still? She lost weight, too.
Tamina and Natalya, I don't know what their year count is getting to. It is incredible, to be quite frank with you. I know that Tamina has dealt with more injuries, although Natalya's had kind of a few as of late. But before that, she was pretty injury-free for a lot of her career, I feel like. They have been our TVs for a long time now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's all that I know. But, I mean, Tamina, she's been a tag team champion with someone, I think?
Nia Jax, I believe, right? Or was it Natalya? It's one of the two of them.
Yeah.
Because they had that bad... All right, I got to back up a little. They did have that badass team of Nia and Tamina. When Bayley and Sasha were a team, and you had the Iconics.
Yeah.
And then you had, what was it? Well, Vicious and Delicious. No, that's Bagwell and Scott Norton. Fire and Ice?
Mandy and Sonya.
Yeah.
Fire and Desire.
That's it. Thank you. But yeah, it's... God, right there were four women's tag teams.
Oh, yeah.
Legit tags.
And that's kind of the funny thing, that Katana Chance and Caden Carter could go up to the main roster and actually fill a hole, because the main roster doesn't really, like, they almost fit better up there to be women's tag team fodder, and I would imagine that at some juncture they will probably get a championship run, and it'll be once, and then they'll be back to being fodder.
See, I still like the idea of just having one women's tag team championship instead of NXT and WWE. Because they've already shown some people don't mind going down to NXT. New Day's been there for a while. I know, in recorded vignettes. I mean, Sasha Bailey showing up was pretty awesome. you know, just different stuff like that. And
yeah, well, I mean, you can even talk about Apollo Crews. He should have a fun match with Carmelo there one. For you. Another guy that jumped back.
So I don't see the problem with there's a women's tag team championship. Because it's that important, it goes across all brands. I don't know, some bullshit like that. You know?
Well, and it does seem like they're kind of, in general, forming some tag team ranks for the ladies. Because one of the few segments that was not a backstage segment, Isla Dawn and Alba Fire seemingly being a tag team here in the near future.
Yeah, which, sure. Like, Isla Dawn's fine. Alba Fire never worked as a babyface, especially with that dumb name.
Oh.
So.
Yeah, she was too mixed metaphor. Like, she was doing all this spooky, creepy stuff, but she was more of a straight-ahead badass kind of situation. It's just like, I guess I just didn't feel like the character was all there. And then she started doing this spooky stuff, and then they're like, oh, let's bring in this other girl that does this spooky stuff, too. And it's just like, well, you got two people doing spooky, like, very similar spooky English stuff. What are we doing here, guys? You know, I don't care if one's talking about druids and one's talking more about something that happened in Wales or Scotland. I don't, you know, I know that there's a difference, but I don't really care that there's a difference.
Yeah, no.
It's close enough in fashion that it's just like, you're repeating a very narrow gimmick here, guys.
Yeah. It's funny to me that they keep bringing in all these NXT UK people that, like, Isla Dawn was fine. She never went anywhere. Stevie Turner, sure, whatever. Alba Fire was their longest running champion. You know, it's like, oh my god, was it not Taya Valkyra, but whatever her name is.
Yeah.
She was there for a little bit, and then, you know, COVID really messed up NXT UK anyways. But
the women,
it wasn't like they were tearing it up.
Yeah, the more that we start listening, I'm like, I don't know. Like, I am not that big of a fan of any of the women from NXT UK at this point. I don't think.
Blair Davenport, for sure.
Oh, I did.
They did bring over Rhea, Toni Storm.
Oh, right.
Goddamn, there was somebody else. Well, Piper Niven.
Yeah.
And someone else.
I guess I'm just thinking about this recent crop that's now popping into NXT. Because I think Blair Davenport is the... Because she was the one that was in the three-way, correct?
Yeah. I'm guessing it's a visa issue for her.
I did enjoy her work, but she's obviously not really been on TV since then.
Yeah.
So whatever the situation, it's... her not on my TV, and that's my main priority. I guess Isla Dawn's okay, but it's still just kind of weird. Alba Fire, like you said, she hasn't really, you know, for being someone that was that long of a reigning champion, this has just been a real disaster.
Yeah.
Like, if you're like, ooh, man, I'm going to the tag team ranks now, too, huh? And it's not one of those, I'm a star and I don't have anything to do better. This is my chance to resuscitate my character. Kind of a situation.
Yeah. The whole NXT UK, like, integration of people has been weird anyways. The women are just part of it. Dallas is the one that's done it the most. So.
It was a little bit, I thought you were going to talk about Big Strong Boy and Axiom taking each other on. That was one of those ones where I'm like, I feel like there isn't really a winner in this situation.
No, not really.
You know?
Okay, so I get, all right, so that match is kind of indicative of the problem with NXT. And yeah, I enjoy the show more than I used to, but there's still an issue, is NXT's got these goofy characters, and they even make fun of Axiom being a kid. Because that's who it is.
They really called that out this week.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to go ahead and change him back to A-Kid, but it was kind of weird that they, like, specifically brought it up this week.
Yeah, I don't know why they... Well, A-Kid sucks anyway. It's like the name. It's a terrible name. It's like a bad 90s comic book character. Axiom's cool. That entrance is pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
You know, on TV, it's cool. He's not going to be in Charlotte, but I would like to see what his entrance is like in person. He just walks inside, walks the other side, walks the other side, like that. Then on TV, he's like, bang, 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 bang. Like, oh, that's cool. In reality, he's just walking.
Yeah, this is absolutely nothing special.
Literally nothing to see here. But like, that match is... I guess, is Axiom a character? Because he used to talk about how we like numbers, but that's kind of gone away.
A little bit. He does occasionally bring that into the conversation, but it's a little bit of a hard one to make your character math dependent in professional wrestling.
Yeah.
Just not that sexy.
So you've got these guys who are workhorses, can go not really big on character, and then you've got Tony D'Angelo, who's a mob boss. You got, what's the guy's name that's the security guard?
Oh, Hank Walker.
Hank Walker, security guard. You've got a school teacher. And then there's Tyler Bate in Axiom just having a match. And it's like, make up your mind. What are we doing here?
We going all in on these wacky gimmicks, or are we not here? Because, I guess I will give it to the ladies. They have definitely been all in, for the most part, on the wacky gimmicks.
Yeah. Yes.
Because...
Like, are they going to give Tyler Bate, like, a strongman gimmick? So he comes out with, like, the dumbbells that say 100 pounds on each end. Push over his head. And wear a loincloth and stuff.
I would be here for that.
Actually, yeah, because he already has a handlebar mustache.
Why not, man? Let's lean into it, kids. You know, you're just gonna have to go for it, like they did with Tony D'Angelo. Of course, then don't you basically have what was their names? The Vaudevillains.
Yes, yeah, one of the coolest entrances ever. So they got in the ring. It's like, oh, okay, they're just pasty dudes. All right.
Pasty small dudes who are like just okay at wrestling.
Aiden English is pretty tall.
Oh, I did forget. He was kind of a big guy.
Yeah, but Simon Gotch, not so much. So, but anyways, yeah. So NXT's got a thing, but even regardless, I'm looking forward to going.
Oh.
What the fuck is my TV doing? Using a screen at the brightest level for a long period of time increases eye strain. Shall we use comfort mode to reduce eye strain? No! Fuck off! I'm not a goddamn Matrix. I don't need a TV sitting there going, hey, I'm looking out for your health. Shut up, dick! I'm not putting me in a pod, motherfucker. Jesus. So, anyways, I don't even know if that works. So, no, later. But, so I don't know. Did you guys talk much about the Rumble at all? Or was it too late?
No. It was Rumble on that we, SmackDown is like whatever. And, anytime that there's a pay-per-view, SmackDown is kind of irrelevant.
It really is. They tried. by having like Karrion Kross and Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, they did have those nice kind of undercard matches that would normally make a pay-per-view, but don't because the Rumble matches take up so much time in and of themselves.
Yeah. Yes. Well, they have really, like, I don't know, I didn't see the official totals, but it didn't seem like they, in some spots they did, but overall, it didn't seem like the Rumble this year, they kept it the 90 seconds. And I think the 90 seconds started as soon as their entrance music hit. They didn't wait for them to get in the ring.
Oh.
It was like, well, they're announced. Start the clock again. So, but I
don't blame them because it took everyone quite some time to get down to the ring. That's what happens when you get into these large, you know, these indoor arenas like the Alamo Dome is, since it fits 50 some odd thousand. I know that their number was, what, 51,000 and some change? I want to say, but I feel like it fits upwards to like 55, and it's just like, that's a lot of, that's a large area, and you're going to have a long walkway when that happens. Happens every WrestleMania, pretty much.
So, WrestleMania, well, I remember Orlando, they had a golf cart. They would just keep it off screen.
Uh-oh.
The last Orlando one with Undertaker and Roman.
Yeah.
They actually had a golf cart for some of the people. And then they, you know, they take off and then they go back to him on the rim.
Yeah, hey. Then if that's what you got to do, that's what you got to do. I obviously, hey, I was all for the mobile rings way back in the day. I'm here for more WrestleMania regular transport. Just to save people from walking.
Yeah, exactly. I just had a 30-minute match, and it's outside. Like, oh my god, let's go! Like, somebody, just pick me up, please. So
yeah, I'm gassed here.
Yeah, but no, I really enjoyed the Rumble this year.
Just
overall the whole show.
Yeah.
I like the moments that they teased, the history they remembered, and we didn't get payoffs for everything. Like, Gunther and Brock, like, Gunther chopped Brock once. I don't think he was supposed to. Because they're just standing there, Brock's like, alright, Gunther's like, what? And he's like, do something. And then, as they're getting ready to cut away, you see Gunther chopping. But it wasn't like your usual Gunther chop.
Yeah.
It was like scaled back, so I'm wondering, Brock was like, what are you doing? So, but the crowd popped for that big, though, when they start facing off.
Yeah, I would be unsurprised if that is a match in the moderately near future.
I disagree with you. I think they should drag that shit out. Because Brock's not going anywhere. Hey, Brock, you want to make $1 million? Oh, yeah, what? Yeah, sure, I'll work two matches for $1 million. And, I mean, it's very clear Gunther is highly thought of. Oh. There's no way around that.
Yeah. Him and Brock is happening at some point. It just depends upon when now. It's not, to me, it's not a matter of if. Now, it's just a matter of when. You don't have that moment without something happening, unless you're Keith Lee.
Oh, boy. God damn, I remember how exciting that was. Because even Brock sold, like, that's a big boy. And you're like, oh my god, this could actually happen. And then fucking Vince ruins everything. And now we don't even know where Keith Lee is.
Yeah, now as far as we know, Keith Lee is dead.
Let's hope not, because we had those health issues. Oh, I don't think we'd be seeing Meechan on Raw if he was.
No, I would think if his health was in peril, we might not be seeing weekly Meechan.
True, that's very true. Yeah, because remember, because no one knew how sick he was. We just knew he wasn't on TV.
Yeah, oh,
and then
yeah.
he started going over everything. I was like, whoa. So, yeah, that's another guy that's not worked out in AEW. No, I don't care. He won the tag team title.
Oh.
His debut, throwing Isaiah Cassidy to the moon and back to... I'm not on TV for a few weeks. Like, what? Okay. Although, I mean, that's the past. AEW's gotten better now. So.
And then he was tag team champions with the partner that he hated, which is...
Yeah,
just,
or didn't trust, or get along with, or whatever else, or agree with.
Yeah.
But...
not a good reign.
Yeah. But, no, man, like, that's, like, you mentioned something about Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns. I thought they actually tried very hard to get you to believe Kevin Owens was going to win.
Oh.
No one thought he was going to. But, I mean, they even gave you, like, a visual pin. You had plenty of moments where Kevin, like, he kicks out of the Superman punch and the spear. And it's like, well, wait a second. It planted a 2% doubt in my head that Roman was going to win.
Oh.
Or going to lose. But, yeah. So, I mean, what more can be said about the end? So...
Yeah, it was impossible to not go over that on the first show of the week because the Bloodline has really dominated.
Well, did you guys talk about Raw was number one on all of television Monday?
Oh,
not cable, all of television.
Nice.
That is insane. They had, like, their highest grossing gate at the Rumble this year. WrestleMania is almost sold out for both nights. Craziness. Or no, they've sold, like, 50 or 60,000 seats for each night. I don't think they could possibly sell out both nights.
There's a lot of... Oh, I guess I don't know what the seating capacity of...
that's why I said that, yeah.
That is, I guess I'm kind of interested since I do have spouted off about loving the shape of that building quite a bit. Maybe I'll check out what the capacity is.
But it's like, it's crazy how this has turned around. And by the way, Raw's still not that great. It's better, but it's not top notch or anything. And it's like, is this like the first WrestleMania season in a while that's actually been good?
Yeah, it definitely is. They did what they could during the COVID/no crowd era. And I know that last year there was a crowd. It feels like they're really getting back into the swing of things. Like, even, I guess that is one of those things that's been even fun about NXT is they're like, thank God we're back on the road again. And it's just like, yeah, I think that's good for them to get out of Orlando. Even if it is just every, you know, large event or something like that. Like,
yeah. Oh, for sure.
You know, get them out of there every now and again. Get different crowds and the whole nine yards, and I think it'll just be better for the product as a whole.
Yeah, and, oh, for sure.
And, yeah, I think that everyone's kind of hyped about having... And, I mean, I think we even talked about it. Wrestling depends upon fans, and it's really helped that ever since Vince left... there's been more of a crowd reaction at WWE shows just in general.
Yeah, we've had some of those off ones.
Yeah, they haven't all been great. For the most part, though, there has been a marked increase in being closer to the rabid reactions at an AEW show. I know that they play smaller venues, so it's, to me, it's a little hard to compare when they're definitely playing places that are, you know, like half the size of what the WWE is doing. Uh-huh. But still, like, if you're still getting a pretty solid reaction out of that that kind of a crowd, then that's good news.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, the Dome in San Antonio, you got that giant reaction for stuff, which of course you're going to because it's Rumble. You're getting diehards. Elimination Chamber may seem like a slam dunk too because it's in Montreal and it's been years, apparently.
Mean, that was, and I don't think it is still terribly easy to get into Canada.
Oh, I don't know. I don't even pay attention. I just found out we're still under emergency COVID protocols or something. And I guess Biden's going to lift it in May. And I'm like, what? Could have fooled me. So, because, sure, bud. But it's not a political statement. It's more like a,
yeah, but yeah, I wouldn't have known that for quite some time at this juncture.
Yeah. So,
SoFi Stadium, football size 70,240. They're saying major events up to 200, 240.
Wait, say it again. I'm sorry.
Football field for SoFi Stadium, 70,240 is the capacity. Okay. And shit, they're saying for major events, it's 100,000 and 240. Wow. Why the 240 gets tacked on in both situations, don't know.
Because everyone wants to have a attendance record. So, yeah, we did 238. Well, we did 240. So...
So, yeah, 60,000 is at least close to their football size, then, if that's indeed what they've sold at this point.
Yeah. It would be absolute craziness if they sold both nights out. And if they pack something, like, who would have thought this years ago? The last WrestleMania we went to was New Orleans, right?
Second New Orleans, yeah.
Yeah, and we were like, oof. Because that was when Lesnar beat Roman, and we're all like, huh? And just walked out like a funeral. Instead of the last time we were there, where it was like a giant party. It was a giant party all weekend into, you know, after Daniel Bryan.
Yep.
That was crazy fun. And the last one we went to was a funeral. Like, oh, okay, well. And now here we are, Roman Reigns is the top guy, and everyone's bought in. It's not, oh, Vince is just pushing him on us. It's like, well, they finally figured it out.
They finally let him be a badass.
Yeah.
I don't know how long we have mentioned that. We're like, why do they keep on fucking with his gimmick? Like, it's not hard to wrap your head around. You can call him the head of the table, the tribal chief, all that other stuff. It means the same thing. He's a badass all the time.
But now he's like a manipulative badass.
Oh, yes.
Now he's becoming a paranoid manipulative badass. So it's like, okay. And, oh, by the way, I actually saw somebody else. I saw somebody, Jeff Brown? God damn it. I can't remember his last name now. Him and Shahid do the Hood Classics show.
Yeah.
And he said that I see a lot of people talk about Jay needs an Emmy or an Oscar. And I'm like, people just jumping on my coattails? Like, yeah. These guys are great. They always have been. There's no chance you can ever convince me now, especially after seeing the end of that, of the Royal Rumble this year. There's no actors better than at acting than Russell.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah. Everyone's great in this. Like, legitimately great. It's not even sarcasm, and not even on a scale of, well, an actor.
They're wrestlers.
I don't care. So.
Yeah, they have all really bought into that story.
Yeah. And it's just nuts. They, like, so. Randy Savage and Hulk Hogan is considered to be one of the greatest angles ever because it lasted a year. And it was meticulously planned out.
Oh.
I'm trying to figure out if this one's better.
It's been a hell of a ride. It still has some legs, you know. If it goes to the Chris thinks, and I'm not really arguing with him, that we could still end up with an Usos versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn match for the tag team championships.
Yeah.
There is still some story to tell in this situation. And, it's almost at its climax. I suppose Sammy versus Roman is going to be the climax of the story. But still, having Kevin and Sammy go after the tag championships afterwards for WrestleMania, that seems like a pretty awesome spot to be in for everyone involved. Usos, yeah, man, so fucking good.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing of this is, if Roman challenges Sammy, then Jay's going to help Roman win, you know, at the Elimination Chamber. And then Owens comes down to help Sammy. Then they go on to feud with the Usos. But have we all forgotten Jay and Roman didn't get along? I'm not saying Jay beats Roman, but it's not 100% Jay's going to be on board. Or, like, Jay's, like, on board with Roman. It certainly seems like he'll join back up eventually. But
yeah. It made sense for him to be the one to have a problem. Even though he was the hardest one to buy into Sami Zayn, you know, it made more sense with him being the one that gave Roman static way back in the beginning, if you actually remember the angle.
Yes.
You know, so it's just like, they've done a great job of playing off the history of this whole story.
Yeah.
And, it makes sense that he's the one that is pissed about this whole getting turned on situation.
Well, I mean, because what kind of got lost is Jimmy accepted Sammy, and Jimmy was the first one to blast him. So it's like Jay's hurt because he called Sammy a brother after all this time, where
Jimmy accepted him quickly, but was easy to throw him aside.
Yeah. And Jay's like, no, this guy's actually been here for us, and Roman's treating him like shit. It's such an intriguing thing that we don't get. And I love it. I don't want it to end, but you know WrestleMania is the end of it. I mean, whether it's in a tag team or somehow Sammy goes against Roman. So,
oh, right.
So it'll be sad, and I hope they have the next great chapter, you know, the next great storyline coming up, because it's a proven business winner. It just is.
Better stories equal better ratings.
Yeah, remember The Walking Dead? That show stunk at the end, and no, like, they went from like 10 million viewers to a million. Can't imagine why.
Yeah, I was part of that 9 million migration.
Wait. Oh, dude. I stuck through to the end. And now they have all these spin-off shows and they can eat a dick. I'm not watching these. It's lazy and it's a cash grab. You can fuck yourself. I don't even know how much of a cash grab it is. I'm guessing it's significant. But whatever.
I mean, they still seem to have at least somewhat fairly dominant spot in the... Although, I mean, AMC is just, that is really taking a hit. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
I don't remember the last time that I'm like, oh yeah, I need to catch that AMC show. Like, that was hot for a minute. I guess maybe it's because everything's gone more streaming. I don't know. Really not sure.
I think
but anyway.
They put all their money into, or all their ducks in a row, horses and whatever, Walking Dead, and they put it on Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad took off, and they haven't had anything since. That doesn't mean they haven't had quality shows. That they haven't been able to capture the audience. Like, they could have done it with Preacher, but that was just garbage.
And oof, yeah, I gave that a chance.
Preacher lasted 2 seasons, maybe 3, I don't even know, is embarrassing. That show should have gone on for at least 7 or 8 seasons and been controversial and awesome. But instead, they just fucked it up from the get-go. I knew it was just bad. But, okay, so Walking Dead, and then they go, well, the main guy's going. Wait, he's the show. No. We'll replace it with this person. No? Well, his son's dead, too, now. The weird fantasy love story, she's leaving. This person's leaving. I'm like, who are we left with? They took Carol from a badass into some mopey ass the whole time. And they tried turning Negan into a good guy. It's like, this is terrible. It's... You had a comic book that went like 200-something issues. And it was popular until the day it ended out of the blue. And you guys are trying to tell me you're better writers than this? You weren't. So... And it showed. So basically, fuck The Walking Dead at the end. Dumbass show. It's my own fault for watching it. So.
Oh, man.
Yep.
Okay, what was your bell time beer for the show this week?
Well, since you had these little 12-ounce things, I had two. The first was from Columbus Brewing. It's all your packages. Insane Wanderer Hazy IPA.
Oh.
Pretty good.
Yep.
Enjoyed it. The one that I cracked in the middle of the show really got my attention is from Sideswipe Brewing. It's called Breweries Near Me.
Ah, yes.
This is solid, man. This harkens back before they start doing, like, you know, making over haze, putting blueberries and stuff and all that. I couldn't believe when I cracked this. I'm like, damn.
Yeah, there are certain things that I really think that Sideswipe really has a sweet spot for, and the classic IPA is on that list. Oh, their hazies are insanely tasty too. Like, because I just reviewed it for the show with Chris there, and I got it this past weekend at their 9th anniversary. Their hazy IPA is really tasty. Their most recent one, Match Brew 20. So yeah, I'm glad that you really like the breweries near me. That
oh yeah.
Sideswipe's one of my favorites, and they really nail those type of beers.
Yeah, they got to work on their labels, though.
So. Yeah, they are not terribly fancy in that department.
No. Well, it's all bubbly, too. Like, you know, work on your machine press. But other than that, you know, whatever. Very good, though.
Yeah. I also had a Columbus beer here because I have a couple more to put in the fridge. Wolf's Ridge Brewing 9th anniversary blend of 100% barrel aged beers, 11.6% alcohol. I guess I really do need my readers. 40 IBU, 12 fluid ounces. It is a melange of all kinds of ridiculous. Because I think it's always 4 barrel-aged beers that are blended together and sold. And they are various and sundry in their choices. Because there's usually a stout and some type of like a barley wine. It gets pretty weird. And if you don't like that, it's probably not for you. But I do enjoy such such weird mashups. Especially in the barrel age department. Give me some bourbon. I love it. Just that's not real, actually, no. Bourbon. I just like bourbon in my beer. So.
I get fucked up, man. Throw the shot in the glass. So.
Oh, man. I guess I was thinking shots. I'm like, I guess I could do a shot at Jaeger. Like, I could handle that again, right?
We've discussed this. I don't think so. Dude, we're not that young anymore. And when's the last time you've done one?
Within the last 5 years.
I think it's been longer for me. And I don't exactly miss it. I haven't been hungover in a long time. So, I don't say one shot will do it. But anybody who's had Jaeger understands what happens next.
What, so the second shot of Jaeger?
Yeah. You're like, did you have a shot of Jaeger? No. I had a lot of shots of Jaeger.
Like 12. Like, yeah. What?
And then you don't know what you do. It's like that. That's a great David Telfin. I went out, did this, Jaeger. Like, yeah, that's a real thing. That wasn't just, it's from experience. So,
Takes
the guy dancing up pool tables singing Barry White. I don't know any Barry White lyrics, but yet I was singing them.
Oh, man.
I still don't. Yeah,
I don't know if I had that when I did the Honky Tonk Man on a picnic table or not.
Wait a minute. Were we doing shots on your bachelor party when you told me to order you something Italian at the sub joint and then ran across the street and started climbing the wall into the bar?
Yes.
That's one of my favorite stories we share. Just turn around. What do you want to eat? Something Italian. What? And then also, all I see is you climbing the wall into the bar because the line was too long.
Oh, man.
Go out, get yourself a bottle of Jaeger, hunker down, and see what trouble you get into. It's okay.
Oh, man.
Just don't drive.
I miss those days and do not miss those days all at the same time.
I look back on them fondly because I don't have to be gross the next day.
I still was weirdly, rarely hungover.
Oh, I never had that problem. I always was. So.
Yeah, my body did me a solid and knew how to bounce back most of the time.
See, my body hates me. So I do anything. It's like, oh, all right. Two can play this game. Oh, did you like those two beers you had? Well, yeah, you're going to be tired for 4 days now. Like, I don't know what I did to myself. I mean, well, obviously enough, I can't remember. So, all right, let's get the fuck out of here.
Okay, at DeFrango11 for his Bell Time beer suggestions. At Granny Mays for his, the brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Stitcher. Have a good night, grandkids.
Say it again.